One of the fears that a lot of people have when they're dying is the fear of unfinished business. I wish I had done this. I wish I hadn't done that. I should have resolved that conflict. I should have made amends with. I should have done reconciliation. I wish I, and all that. As a friend, it's okay. In fact, it's a good thing for you to help them talk about their unfinished business. They're not going to get a chance to resolve it now. If they haven't resolved it by now, they're not going to get a chance, most likely. But it's good to let them talk it out. You're helping them unload.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This time around, Rick wraps up the series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Today, Rick takes a final look at how living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control is possible if we'll only put our hope in Jesus Christ. Stay with us to find out just how much God loves us and about the great things He has planned for our lives. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When a Friend is Dying.
We live in a society today that wants to cast away unusable people. Whether it's a child who's handicapped or it's a senior citizen who's losing their mental capacity. That person is just as precious when they cannot even get up and go to the bathroom on their own as they were when they were taking care of their own family as a mother or as a father. Get it? Good. Let me try that again. Get it? Good. They are precious to God, and their death is precious to God. And so God says, it better be precious to you because you're my child, and you want your death to be precious. It matters. So you fortify with emotional support. Now, the next O in comfort is open them up with questions. Open them up with questions. You need to open them up so they can unload. You see, when people are dying, they're carrying an enormous emotional load inside. They're carrying worry and fear and doubt and shame and guilt and regret and joy and sorrow and anxiety. They're carrying a whole panoply of emotion. And most people don't know how to get it out. Friends help friends get it out. You need to help people unload what they're feeling inside. Now, that takes skill, but you can do this. And you can open them up so that they can unload and get it off their chest all the heaviness that they're carrying about their impending death. Now, how do you do that? By asking open-ended questions. That's how you do it. Ask open-ended questions. In other words, questions that can't be answered by simply yes or no. You ask a question that demands a response more than simply a word or two. And that's how you get people to open up when they don't even know how to do it themselves. Now, this is a skill. The Bible says it like this, here on the screen, Proverbs 20, verse 5. A person's thoughts are like water in a deep well. But someone with insight can draw them out. A wise person, a wise friend, this is what I want you to be. I want you to be the kind of person who draws it out. It's like a bucket drawing water out of a well. You need to learn how to draw it out of other people so that they can unload all the weight that they're carrying. And the way you do that is by asking open-ended questions. Now, one of the problems, one of the fears that you have in dealing with people who are dying is, what if they ask me questions that I don't know the answer to? They will, and you don't. But that's okay. I've been a pastor for over 30 years. People ask me questions all the time I don't know the answer to. Let me give you three of them. Why me, why now, and why this? Nobody knows the answers to those three. Those are unanswerable questions you're never going to know on this side of eternity. There are some questions in life that just aren't going to be answered. And one of them is, why is this happening to me? It is an unanswerable question. And the Bible tells us that on the other side in eternity, we will see how it all fits together. We're going to understand, oh, that's why now, that's why me, and that's why this. But you don't see it now. And when they ask that question, you're not God. And on top of that, an explanation doesn't comfort. And what they need is comfort. What they really need is to talk it out. So here's how you do it. Here's a little tool for you to use. Whenever you get asked a question that is unanswerable by somebody who's dying, you ask it back to them. You mirror the question back to them and you rephrase it, because what you really want to do is not answer the question. What you want to do is get them talking. Let me give you an example. If you're in a room and somebody's sick and they say, am I going to die? How are you going to answer that? Well, you don't know. You don't know if they're going to die or not, most likely. But they say, am I going to die? Instead of answering that question, rephrase the question back to them and say something like this. Well, what does dying mean to you? And then wait. Because what you've done is you've now got them talking. The question is not the question. The question is simply a symptom of something deeper that they need to get out. What does it mean to you to die? And what are you feeling? And you ask back to them. Or if somebody asks you the question, why is this happening to me? That's the unanswerable question. Now, we know that God has a purpose behind every problem, that God's purpose is greater than your problem, that God wants to develop character and he wants to become like Christ. We know all that, but you don't know all the details of each specific thing that happens in life. And so when somebody says, why is this happening to me? Instead of trying to look for an answer, I would rephrase it and say, well, what do you feel is happening to you? What do you feel is happening to you? See, what I'm doing is I'm now turning it back that I am being a friend. I'm opening them up so they can talk about stuff that they don't know how to start talking about.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. There are only 24 hours left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
One of the fears that a lot of people have when they're dying is the fear of unfinished business. I wish I had done this. I wish I hadn't done that. I should have resolved that conflict. I should have made amends with. I should have done reconciliation. I wish I, and all that. As a friend, it's okay. In fact, it's a good thing for you to help them talk about their unfinished business. They're not going to get a chance to resolve it now. If they haven't resolved it by now, they're not going to get a chance, most likely. But it's good to let them talk it out. You're helping them unload. You're opening them up with questions and help them get it off their chest. If they've got unfinished business, it's encouraging them to talk about it. Don't slam it down. Don't shove it down. Let them talk about it. Now, let me give you a warning. If you have unfinished business with them, like you were hurt by your mom or dad, and you really want to tell them the bad things they did, and you want to tell them, make some critical statements and make some judgments, and you want to tell them now, and you wimped out, and you delayed and procrastinated, and you never dealt with it when you should have dealt with it, and now it's almost too late, and it's at the deathbed scene, and now you want to deal with it, sorry, it's too late. It's over, because this is not about you. And when somebody is dying, you do not have a right to dump on them, because this is not about you, no matter how messed up you feel they caused you to get messed up. It's about them. Now, if they want to talk to you and they want to say, I'm sorry for this, and that's great. And if you want to say something like, you know, Dad, I didn't tell you that I loved you, or I never told you enough, or I had problems with this and that, I'm so sorry. If you want to apologize, that's great. But if you've got some kind of judgmental statement or critical statement to make, and you were a coward and you didn't do it when I told you to do it, which was a whole lot earlier, if you got something between you and your parents right now, you go home today and get it right. You go call them up today. Don't wait until the deathbed. That's too late. That's the wrong time to do it. The time to do it is now. If you got a confrontation due, you deal with it now. Because once it gets to that time, that stage, it's too late, friend. It's not about you. No matter how much they hurt you, it's not about you. It's about them dying with dignity. You say, well, what do I do, Rick? I've got all this pent-up anger in me, and my mom is dying, or my dad's dying, or this brother's dying, or whatever, who really hurt me. What do I do now? Because you want to dump on them. Here's what you do. You go into another room, and you write out all of what you're feeling, your emotions, and you read it aloud to another person. But you don't dump on them. Does that make sense? You don't dump on them. As a pastor who loves you and cares for you, and I'm giving my life to help you be what God wants you to be, if you got something with somebody, you go get it right now. Don't wait until it's too late. Because when they get sick and they're about to die, it's too late. At that point, it's about them, not about you. Now, by the way, if they don't want to talk about death, that's okay. Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people just want to shut it down. It's not good for them, but if they don't want to, don't force them. That's okay. R in comfort. The R stands for remember the family has needs too. Remember the family has needs too. Now, this is where you can really be a friend to other people. If you've got a friend who's ill and they're dying, you can really help the whole family, not just them. And one of the ways you can do it is you can ask questions that maybe the family feels uncomfortable asking. For instance, it's okay, it's perfectly okay for you to ask somebody who's dying, have you made any preparations for your death? And somebody's got to find that out. That's okay. It's not an offensive question. It's okay to ask, what are your preferences? Do you have any preferences about your memorial service? What would you like? Anything you would like at your memorial service? That's okay. It's entirely appropriate to ask that question. It is okay for you as a friend to ask, do you have a will? Have you made a will? Because you're not going to be in it. And so there's no personal motivation here. But you can ask some things that the family needs to ask that maybe they feel uncomfortable asking. And that's what friends do. Friends take care of friends, and they take care of family. You see, friends, all over Southern California and all around the world, there are millions of people who are hurting, who are bleeding, who are dying, who are lonely, who need somebody to show up in their life. Are you doing that with anybody? Is there anybody in your life where you are totally unselfishly helping them without any knowledge or fanfare or recognition by anybody else? You see, the whole business of Christianity is not simply for you to be successful and be happy and balanced, but for you to learn how to give your life away, to be unselfish, to learn to give, to be like Jesus. The whole business of Christianity is going out into the sores of life where people are hurting and broken and in despair and needing help and showing love in those situations. And if you're not doing that, I doubt your Christianity. Because as I said, Jesus didn't come just to make you satisfied. He came to teach you how to grow up, how to be unselfish, how to be like Him, how to learn how to love, how to treat everybody in the world as precious in His sight. Now, there's one last thing in comforting people. We've looked at these others, offering physical presence and ministering practical assistance and fortifying emotional support, helping people make relational connections with questions, remembering the family. The T stands for the most important of all: turn them to Jesus. Turn them to Jesus. I cannot heal anybody physically. Jesus Christ can heal their heart spiritually. And we want them to go into eternity prepared to meet God, having been at peace with God, having accepted His gift of salvation, having turned to Jesus, so they'll spend eternity in heaven. That is the hope of our faith. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 45. Turn to me now, God says, and be saved. Turn to me. People all over the world. That's why we do the peace plan. That's why we do the peace plan. Turn to me now and be saved. People all over the world. I am the only God there is. Look at this next verse up here on the screen. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. God didn't send 20 Jesuses. He didn't send 100 Jesuses. He sent one. God sent a Savior to earth. Now, what did Jesus come to do? Well, one of the things He came to do is to take away your fear of death. How? By dying on the cross, paying for all your sins so you could go to heaven, resurrecting again to show that there is life after death, and to show that what He had said about life hereafter was true. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 2. For only as a human being could Jesus die. He had to be human to die. So God had to become a human. And only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who has the power of death. Only in this way could He deliver those who've lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. I don't want you to be afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying. God says, I want to break this fear in your life. And instead of looking to our pain, God says, I want you to look to me and look to the hope of heaven. And you need to help those who are dying do the same. Look at this verse. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. The IVs, the doctors, the medical equipment, the machines. We don't look at all the troubles we see right now. We look forward to what we have not yet seen. That's heaven. For the troubles which we see will soon be over. But the joys to come will last forever, forever. So what do we want to do? When somebody's dying, we want to encourage them to do what David did. Last verse. Death itself, he says, stared me in the face. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Have you ever done that? I mean, you? I mean, you can't offer to other people what you haven't received yourself. If you haven't settled the issue of your destiny, you are gambling with your eternity. That's not too smart. So let me just ask you, if you were to die tonight, are you absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? Let me say it another way. If you were to die tonight and stand before Jesus and Jesus said, "Why should I let you into my house?" would you know the right answer? If you don't, may it be my privilege right now to help you settle that issue. Let's bow our heads. I pray this prayer in your heart right now. Just say it quietly in your mind. Dear God, you are God and I'm not. I need you to forgive the things I've done wrong in life. I need you to give me a fresh start in life. And I want to begin a relationship with you. As much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. There's only 24 hours left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Thanks. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I love getting letters from you. Let me share a little bit longer one. It's from Sarah and her 4-year-old son. She said, Pastor Rick, my husband and I are involved in a church plant in Salem, Massachusetts. And I make an effort every day to listen to other pastors preach via podcast. But I began listening to your Daily Hope podcast and I stumbled across Christians in the Workplace and that small group study that you did. That has been a great study and quite relevant to us. Thank you for making your materials available beyond Saddleback Church. Pastor Rick, as a result of my regular listening to your podcast, my son now frequently asks to listen to the sermons. He's 4.5 years old. And one morning on our way to church, he asked me to put on a sermon. I love this kid. He said, I had a Pastor Craig podcast in the queue, but began to listen, but my son kept asking to listen to a sermon by you, and I kept telling him this was a sermon. Then he said, no, I want to listen to Pastor Rick Warren. That's funny. Well, when your 4-year-old son, Sam, asked to listen to Rick Warren, you listened to Rick Warren. So I asked Sam, why I like to listen to you? He said, I like what Pastor Rick says. And he said, he says, if you don't swing from one bar to another, you're just going to hang there. Well, I was shocked that he had picked up that truth. That was just one of the recent Daily Hope messages where you talked about faith. And you were referring to where trapeze artists have to let go of one bar before they reach onto the second. And all of that just to say, thank you for the work you do, for the messages you teach. And it goes noticed even by the youngest of human beings, my 4-year-old son, Best Sarah. Well, what can I say, Sarah? This is just such a great story. Thank you, and thank your 4-year-old son, Sam, for listening. And thank you for your ministry in Salem, Massachusetts. May God bless your church, and may all of you join me next time as we continue to look at God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. Today's the last day to get yours, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.